Amen. Thank you, Joanna. Thank you, praise team. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? It is. It is. Turning your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Boys and girls, you may go to children's church now with Mr. Tim and Miss Kate. And you should have received an outline in your bulletin. If you did not, if you'll raise your hand, our ushers will get you one of those here momentarily. You know, I hope you realize how much of a blessing it is to be a part of the body of Christ. I think a lot of people don't realize that. Did you know that? I think a lot of people don't realize that. A lot of people look at church as something they have to do. Church is not something we do, it's something we are. You are the church. You are blood-bought believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we get the privilege of having a second family. Okay, now you were born into a family, and some of you may love your born-into family, and some of you may not, okay? That's just kind of the reality, isn't it? And sometimes we put up with our blood family, don't we? You know? And there's some I'm sure you're closer to than others, but this is your second family, and one day will be your full family, okay, as we get into heaven. Today is a special day in the life of this church family. We're taking a break from our series on the book of Acts this morning, because this morning we have the opportunity to ordain or to lay hands on, in a good way, right? You can lay hands on somebody in a bad way, but we have opportunity to lay hands on some men in a good way and recognize them as leaders in our church. And so this morning, I want to take some time to give you a little history. Maybe you're new to Southside and not familiar with a process we've been going through for a couple years now. And so I want to kind of bring you up to speed. And in the process, teach you some things about God's church that maybe you've never known before. Okay? A lot of people just know that church is something we're just supposed to go to on Sunday morning, right? Or now Saturday night. You know, sometimes you can go on Saturday night now, right? Depending on where you go. But here's the deal. What is it all about? Why do we even have the church? What's the purpose of the church? And what's all this stuff that we do at church? Well, let me give you a little bit of a brief history. A couple of years ago, a little over 2 years ago, I preached a series on biblical church leadership. Because a lot of people don't understand who are the leaders in the church and how do they get selected and why are people leaders in the church and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I preached a series and we studied what God's Word has to say about biblical church leadership and about how a church is supposed to be organized to accomplish its purpose. Because did you know something? God has given His church, us, a body of believers, a purpose. Did you know that? And some of you may just think, well, my purpose is to come here every Sunday morning. Well, no, listen, that's just really the starting point. Connecting to the church is just a starting point for the mission that Christ has given us. If you can really, the concept that we need to understand is this. Friends, the church is a rescue ship. It's a rescue ship saving all of those who are out drowning, lost, and dying. Now, there's a lot of people in our world who don't have any idea that they're lost and drowning. Amen? How many of you used to be there? Okay? Used to be there, right? Okay, didn't have any idea. Praise God. God sent somebody into my life. God started to work in my heart in order to bring me to where He wants me to be. Amen? And I'm going to, some way, shape, or another, somebody in His church reached out to you. So you need to be thankful to Him for His church. Amen? So, as we need to understand, the church has a purpose, a mission, and that is to reach and rescue a lost and dying world for Jesus Christ. And if we don't understand that, if you don't understand that basic purpose, then you're going to miss all the rest of what God wants for you to be a part of His church. That's key. That's fundamental. One of the things I want to talk about to start off with this morning. Now, how many of you got really nervous when you saw two sides to the outline this morning? Okay, Joe admits that. Amen. You know what? When I got done and it ended up being, I got a little nervous, all right? So here's the deal. This first page, we're going to move through pretty quickly, okay? And the second page, I'll do the best I can, all right? Is that a good deal? Here's what we looked at a little over 2 years ago. We looked at how should the church be structured? If we got a mission, if we're supposed to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he's the only one who can save us from our sins and take us to heaven when we die. The only one. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Friends, that's what our purpose centers around. And if we believe that, then it matters then what we do as a church. How do we organize? How should we be structured? What does the Bible have to say about this? Well, first of all, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's the head of the church, right? I'm not the head of the church. None of you are the head of the church. Some churches you've been in, the deacons have been the head of the church. They are not supposed to be the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's the one who died for us and rose again. Amen? He redeemed us. Look at what Colossians chapter 1 says. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Jesus is the head of the church. Second thing we learned about how the church should be structured, his word is our guide. His word is our guide. Friends, listen, a lot of people don't understand what the Bible is all about, friends, but the Bible is God's love story to you. From the very beginning, it shows how we as human beings disobeyed God and why we need somebody to reconcile us to him. And then all throughout the Bible, it gives us foreshadowings and pictures until we learn that God has sent someone special, and that is his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us and to redeem us and to reconcile us to himself. That's the love story. God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friends, that's what the whole Bible is all about. Okay? And one day, you go all the way to the end, one day God's going to restore all things to himself. So how do we know all that? How do we know how to live in the meantime? How do we know how to accomplish this purpose as a church? He tells us right here. Okay? 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Friends, so listen, we need to understand Jesus is the head of the church. We all need to be focused on him. Even I, as your pastor, need to be pointing you to who? Jesus. Amen. Second, his word is our guide. This is what determines what we do in our personal lives, in our church life, as a church, who we are and what we do. Third, there does have to be structure to things, right? God has set up structure in his church, and how he's done that is there are two offices. There are two distinct offices that the Word of God speaks of. Those are, if you remember this, we've talked about this, but one of those offices, we're going to use a big long word, okay? Many of you may just have called them pastors or elders, but we're going to use three terms here, pastor, elder, overseers, okay? And I'll explain that here in just a second. Pastor, elder, overseers are one office in the church. And the other is that of deacons, okay? Now, there's a lot of confusion in the church. You know, I don't know, some of you have been involved in Methodist churches before, or maybe in an Episcopal church, or maybe in a Catholic church, or maybe in a Presbyterian church. There's a lot of confusion or misunderstanding in the church about how the church is to be led, okay? I'm going to come back to this in a minute, but let me give you just an underlying principle, okay? And we'll talk, you'll see this as we go through this morning. God is not so concerned about the specifics of the responsibilities, even though we're going to talk about this morning. God doesn't give a line-by-line job description for leaders in the church. You know what he's concerned about? Our character. Our character. He's concerned about that those who are leading his church love him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that they are people of men of integrity and men who seek to honor him in their lives. That's what God is most concerned about. Amen? But God, in Scripture, the Scripture uses four different words to describe the two different offices, and this is where some of the confusion comes in. The first word we see there is the word presbyteros. In your Scriptures, in the English, that translates to the word elder. Okay. Now, there is a denomination that comes that uses this word for their name. Anybody have any idea what that might be? Presbyterian. Thank you very much. There you go. See, that's not that hard, right? Presbyterian. It's because they have a top-down elder-led congregations. The second word that the scripture uses is the word episkopos. Okay. Anybody have any idea what church might get their name from that? Episcopal church. Okay. And this is what that word means is it's a word that means bishop or overseers. And Episcopal churches have bishops that are even over the churches. And again, it's a top-down hierarchy here. And that's kind of where they get their, why they get their name from that. The third word that we're going to see here in our text today is the word poimen. And what that means is, sometimes it's used as a verb. In our text today, it's used as a verb, poimeno. It is a word that means pastor or shepherd. Anybody know what denomination gets their name from that? There is none. That's right. There is none. Baptist. That's Baptist because we have pastors, okay? But I want you to look at our text this morning, 1 Peter chapter 5, and I want to show you something here in our text this morning. Here's what I want to show you, and that is that all three of these words are used to describe one position or one office in the church, okay? Look at verse 1 of chapter 5. Peter says, writing to the elders, he's writing to the churches in modern-day Turkey, and specifically here, he's writing to the leaders. He says, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. So to those elders, what does he say? Shepherd the flock of God which is among you. What word is that? Anybody want to take a guess? It's the word poimeno. Okay, it's the word poimeno. So elders, he says, shepherd poimeno, the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, serving as presbyteros or episkopos, serving as overseers. So here in this one passage, in two short verses, we see Peter is referring to the leaders of the church, but he uses three words, elder, overseer, and shepherd or pastor. Now, you say, well, pastor, that's a little odd. Actually, it's not. You know, many of you perform different roles in your everyday life anyway, right? Things you don't even think about. You know, as a man, I'm married, so I am a husband. I have kids, so I'm also a father. And my mother is still alive, and so I'm a son. And so I perform those three roles, and believe it or not, I'm just one person doing all that stuff, okay? You are too, all right? And the reality is, those three words are used to describe one position. So if you'll see here on your outline, what I put is, and this is the understanding, what we need to understand, a pastor is an elder, is an overseer, all right? You can use any of those three words for really the same thing. So I am your pastor, okay? Many people in our world today, we don't do this a lot. Some churches call them elders, but you could also call me an elder, and we'll talk about what that means here in a few minutes. You could also call me an overseer. And those three words describe some of the things of what I do as a pastor. So what we see is pastor, elder, overseers are the leaders of the church. Now, one of the things we saw when we studied this a couple years ago is that when the scripture talks about pastor, elder, overseers, we discovered that in general, the Bible speaks of them in the plural. Okay? And this is really going to be the biggest difference. Today, as we are going to have an opportunity to ordain the three men today to serve as pastor, elder, overseers alongside of me here at this church, the biggest difference for us is going to be that it's a multiplicity of pastor, elder, overseers. In other words, that it's not just me, but these other men are going to come alongside me and serve with me as what we are now going to call the leadership team. Just a fancy name because we came up with to be able to say, what is this group going to be called? Now, we need to understand that that's not where ministry takes place, is it? You know, a lot of people think, you know what, well, let's just hire another pastor and he can pick up the slack of what needs to be done in the church. Did you know that's not the way God intends his church to work? That the pastors are not to do all the work? Did you know that? Number four in the structure, and this is really the most important. Every member, okay, on the outline, every member, here we go. Deacons, sorry, did I not mention deacons? Well, let's just keep going, all right? Did I not? Two offices in the church, pastor, elder, overseers, and deacons, okay? Acts chapter 6, we see deacons. And deacon is from the word, big word, diakonos. It's a transliteration. Not that hard to see that. Simply means servant. So in Acts chapter 6, the apostles were, church was growing, there were a lot of needs and so forth, and so they appointed deacons to help the apostles, the pastors, the elders, in order to do the work of the ministry of the church, all right? And so they came alongside of them to oversee some of those things. But number four, the most important thing is every member should be involved in the ministry of the church. I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Turn over in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. I love this passage because it is a great passage that outlines really a wonderful philosophy of ministry. I want you to look at what it says. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. It says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." So God has called different leaders in the church. But for what purpose? Look at verse 12. It says, "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So God has called pastors and leaders and teachers and even apostles and so forth and evangelists to equip the saints for the work, not to do all of the ministry, but to equip you guys to do ministry. Amen? Now listen, that's just kind of common sense, isn't it? You know, can one person reach more people, or can 200 people reach more people? 200 can, amen? How many people in this church has God called to reach their neighbors and friends and coworkers with the gospel of Christ? Every single one of us, okay? He's called every single one of us. So all of us are to be ministers. All of us are to be doing the work of the church. Because look, it's only then, look at the rest of that passage, verse 13, "till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." In other words, we equip the saints for the work of the ministry so everybody can grow up and be who God has called them to be mature in Christ. "That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head." Who's that? Christ. "From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by" what? How many joints? "Every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share." How many parts? "Every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." So, what's the structure of the church? Who's the head of the church? Jesus Christ, the head of the church. What's our guide? It's his word, amen? His word is our guide. And the scripture speaks of two offices. What are they? Pastor, elder, overseer, and deacon, okay? But who is really supposed to be doing the ministry of the church? It's the members, okay? The members are doing the ministry of the church. And therefore, friends, because we believe that every member should be involved in the ministry of the church, that's why we've organized. How do we have to organize all these people? We organize along a team approach. If you're new to Southside, we believe in a team approach. We believe that every team member is important and every job is important. And God has gifted every member in some way, shape, or form to serve him in this church and in the community. And until we do that, we will not be fulfilling what he wants to do in our lives. Amen? So, here we have what God lays out as the structure of his church. We studied what the Bible says about this, and this is what we learned. So as we learned this, we looked at this a couple of years ago. Next in the process, what we did as a church was we appointed a constitutional review team, because what we said was we want to organize our church based on how God wants us to organize our church. And so we did this, and our constitutional review team, any of those guys could tell you, as a long process. Okay, we praise God. He was with us and led us and guided us and directed us. And after a period of time where we had a chance to talk about that and discuss that and explain that, you as a church voted to adopt this new church constitution, which reflected this structure of what you see here today. Now, as I've already mentioned, really the biggest change in our church is this, that we go from a one person. Now, how many of you have been in a larger church where you've had multiple pastors? Been in that before? Many of you probably have already. So this is really not going to be that big of a change for you. But smaller churches, a lot of times, just have a single pastor. The biggest change for us is that it's not just going to be me as the pastor, elder, overseer, but now there's going to be a team of guys around me to help and to do the work of overseeing the church that God has given us to do. And because we work on a team approach, we've decided to call this team the leadership team. So what are we doing today? We're coming today to ordain or install these men as pastor, elder, overseers, serving on the leadership team. What we're going to do here in a little while is we're going to recognize them. Now, what does the word ordination mean? Here's what ordination means. It's simple, and it's used in different contexts, and even in the church, we use it to ordain deacons. We talk about ordaining of people to full-time ministry. Today, ordination, the word simply means it comes from the laying on of hands, okay? And it is the church recognizing that this person has been called to do what they are, whatever it is they are coming forward to do, and that we recognize them as that, and we recognize them today. We're going to recognize these men as pastor, elder, overseers in our church. Now, the big question is, Pastor, what are they going to do? Anybody wondering that? What are they going to do? You know, listen, I want to tell you something. These guys are wondering that, all right? So I just kind of gave them a big blank thing. I said, we're going to fill this out later. No, I'm just kidding. What is a leadership team supposed to do? What is their role and what are their responsibilities? Well, listen, I love it. When you think about job responsibilities, I like how Tony Campolo's wife responds when somebody asks her what she does. She is a stay-at-home mom. And for those of you who are stay-at-home moms, listen, I have one in my household. I understand my wife, there's never a dull moment. Contrary to what a lot of you may think, stay-at-home moms do not sit around doing nothing, all right? My wife has never seen a soap opera, all right? That's not what her life revolves around. In fact, I want you to listen to how Tony Campolo's wife described what she did. She said, "I am socializing two homo sapiens into the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order into the kind of eschatological utopia that God willed from the beginning of creation." Anybody repeat that back to me? Well, that's the way she responded. And of course, she was being funny about that, friends. But sometimes, listen, things can be too complicated, right? We need to make it simple. So this morning, let's make it simple. I believe that all the responsibilities of a pastor, elder, overseer flow out of the first word in that title, pastor. Look back at your text this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5, we've read this already, but we look at it again. "The elders who are among you, I exhort, I am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ." What does he say in verse 2? He says to shepherd the flock of God who is among you. Shepherd the flock of God who is among you. As Jesus is the chief shepherd, the elders are to be the under-shepherds who take care of his flock. Amen? So what we see is pastor, elder, overseers are to shepherd the congregation. They're to shepherd the congregation. Now, when I think about this and I realize who wrote this? Who wrote this? Which one of the apostles? Look at your Bible. What book are we in? Peter. Peter wrote this. Now, let's think back just a little bit. What happened to Peter just before Jesus was crucified? He denied Christ, didn't he? Not once, not twice, three times, okay? So I want you to think about this for a minute. We're going to look back. I want you to go ahead and turn your Bibles back to John chapter 21, okay? Turn your Bibles, John chapter 21. Jesus told Peter that he was going to deny him. What did Peter say? "Oh, Lord, I'll never deny you. Not me, Lord. No, no, absolutely not." And so, after Jesus was arrested and after he was taken into custody, Peter kind of followed from a distance. And you remember that somebody recognized him, said, "Aren't you with him?" What did Peter say? "Uh-uh. Nope. No, I'm pretty sure I saw you with Jesus. Aren't you with him?" "No, no, no, I don't even know the man." No, I know you're one of his disciples. No, I don't even know him. And then the rooster crowed three times, and Peter remembered what Jesus said. Now, Peter was a bold man. In fact, Peter was one who kind of stepped out a lot of times and said, you know, he was one of these, his mouth engaged before his brain did a lot of times, right? He stick his foot in his mouth. Anybody like that? Okay. And so as Peter did that, here Peter ended up doing the very thing he said he would never do. He denied Christ. Peter had to be devastated. He had to be discouraged. He began, I believe, to doubt his call to be an apostle. And in fact, all the way even till after the resurrection, I believe Peter was still doubting his call. In fact, after Jesus had risen from the grave, Peter was still struggling with this. And one day, Peter said, you know what? I'm going fishing. Now, why did Peter say that? What did Peter do for a living before Jesus called him? He was a fisherman, okay? That's what he knew. That's what he went back to. In fact, several of the other disciples went with him, and they went out fishing, and guess what? They didn't catch a thing. Didn't catch nothing. Until Jesus came along the shore. They didn't know who he was, and Jesus said, cast the net on the other side. And what happened? A whole catch of fish, okay? Jesus, standing on the shore, fixed them breakfast and waited till they came in. They recognized it was Jesus and they came on in. So look at John chapter 21. Here Peter was, I believe, still doubting his call, doubting the fact that God could even use him. Verse 15 says this, John chapter 21. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Now, what's he talking about? Do you love me more than these other men? Do you love me other? No, that's exactly, I believe, he was talking about. Do you love me more than fish? You've gone back to fishing, but Peter, don't you love me, right? Well, how does Peter respond? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. So what did Jesus say to him? Here's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is giving him, he's resetting his call. Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Jesus begins to use that shepherd analogy. But the word here Jesus used, the Greek word is bosko. It literally means to nourish. Provide food for my lambs. Jesus goes on again. He says to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. What does Jesus say to him? Tend my sheep. In fact, the word there is the word poimeno. We just learned a few minutes ago, means what? Shepherd. It literally means shepherd. So what he's, if you love me, Peter, listen, I've called you to shepherd my sheep. A third time, Jesus says to Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. So friends, when we talk about, here he goes back to that first word, bosko, nourish, provide food for my sheep. One of the primary responsibilities of a pastor, elder, overseer is to feed the sheep. Friends, one of the primary responsibilities of mine as your pastor, one of the primary responsibilities other men are going to be to feed the sheep. Amen? Pastor, elder, overseers are to be responsible for teaching the word of God, the bread of life, to God's people. And because this is one of the primary responsibilities, that's why it's one of the primary qualifications is that they must be of sound biblical doctrine and judgment. Listen, I want people who are teaching me who understand what God's word says. Amen? And they know what they believe. And they're not still wondering, oh, well, okay, is this thing true? Friends, I'm glad and I feel very confident that the men that we will put before you today are going to do a great job coming alongside of me in guarding the teaching and doctrine of the church. Each one of them believes strongly that this book is the inerrant, infallible word of God, and it is sufficient for all we need for life and godliness. And that what we believe and teach as a church must come from this. And not from man's opinions, and not from the secular world, and not from Oprah or anything else out there, but what we teach as a church comes from here. Amen? So one of the primary responsibilities is of pastor, elder, overseers is to oversee the teaching ministry of the church. Second, I kind of gave this one away, didn't I? Because really these roles kind of fit right in. But number two, not only do they supposed to feed the flock, but they are supposed to oversee the flock. Look back at 1 Peter chapter 5. We've already looked at this, but he says in verse 2, shepherd the flock of God who is among you, which are among you, serving as overseers. We talked about this, but it's that word episkopos. Some translations translate it bishop in some areas. In ancient Greek society, the word overseer was a well-known designation of office. It was a term used kind of like a supervisor or a manager or the like. Thus, by definition, pastor elder overseers are responsible for the what? Oversight of the church. Now, what does that include? Well, it really includes a lot of stuff. They are responsible for overseeing the direction of the church, overseeing the building, the administrative, financial functions of the church, making sure those things are taken care of properly, overseeing the spiritual needs of the church, as I already said, the teaching ministry of the church, protecting the church from false and distorted doctrine, shielding the church even from unruly or divisive members, individuals, nurturing and caring for the flock. Friends, it is a big responsibility, but pastor, elder, overseers are charged with the oversight of anything and everything to do with the church. And now you understand why I'm thrilled to have some other men come alongside of me. Amen? It doesn't mean they're supposed to do it all, but it means they are responsible for all of it. You know, in almost every segment of society, we hold someone accountable for the oversight of what's been entrusted to them, right? If I were to go around the church today, many of you either are or have been supervisors at your work. Maybe you have a crew underneath you, or maybe you are a boss, or maybe you are a manager over a certain area. And generally speaking, you are probably held accountable for what all those underneath you do, because you are an overseer over whatever area that is. We see this in many different facets of life. A football coach is responsible for how the football team performs on the field, right? He's responsible for that, whether they win or lose, and how their record comes out at the end. The CEO of a company is responsible for the direction and profitability of that company. They oversee that company. That's their responsibility. The president of the United States is responsible for the direction of our country. Lord help him. Amen? And he should be. And here's the deal. We get an opportunity every 4 years to decide whether we think he's done a good job or not, or who we want to oversee all of that. So, in a similar type way, one of the responsibilities of pastor elder overseers are to be responsible for the oversight of the congregation entrusted to them. In fact, did you know that God will hold them accountable for that? Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Look at this verse. Now, Hebrews chapter 13, the writer of Hebrews is actually writing to the church. Okay, the church, but look at what he says. He says, obey those. Well, we don't like that word, do we? Let's just admit it, all right? We don't like that word. All right, there's another word coming here in a minute that if you don't like that word, you're really not going to like this other one, okay? Obey those who rule over you and be submissive. That's why back in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. It's not just talking about older people, but it's talking about in context there, the leaders of the church. All of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Friends, there are others. Every single one of us has other people who are over us and are authorities in our lives, right? Every single one of us, whether it's our boss or whether it's our parents or what have you. But what does it say about this? Why should we be submissive to those who lead over you? Look at verse 17 again of Hebrews. It says, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Friends, here's the deal, and I'm just going to speak to you from my heart this morning, okay? And I know this is the heart of the men that we're going to be ordaining this morning as well. I have a tremendous burden for each and every one of you and your walk with the Lord. You may think, well, he doesn't care about me. He doesn't care how I care about each and every one of you tremendously. You are like my children, even though some of you are a lot older than I am, okay? But God has put me in this position, and I'm grateful to have these men coming alongside of this here, because one of the responsibilities, and I don't take this lightly, is to oversee you and to have responsibility for you and try to lead and guide you spiritually. I want, my heartbeat is for each and every one of you to live passionately for the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I want you to be saved. Okay, I want to make sure you're saved. I don't want you just to be on a church roll somewhere. Okay? I want you to have the assurance that you know you're trusting in Jesus Christ and that alone for your salvation, and you know that. And you're not trusting in your own works or something that you shouldn't be for your salvation. Friends, but I want you to know that, and I want you to live your life serving the Lord, because I know that's going to be your best life now. I know that's what God wants for you. And so, friends, my heartbeat is for you. The men that we're going to ordain this morning, that's where their heartbeat is, friends. They care about you. Every single one of these men either are or have been involved in our Disciplers program, discipling other men and helping them grow up in their relationship with the Lord. That shows me they care about others. Amen? They care about people. So, what are pastor elder overseers to do? They're to feed the flock. They're to oversee the flock. Third, they're to lead the flock. They're to lead the flock. I want you to imagine something this morning. I want you to imagine that we wanted an orchestra to play for us. Okay? And so we went out and we recruited different orchestra members. We recruited some violinists, and we recruited some violists and cellists and bass and oboe players and tuba players and the big bass drum players. And, you know, we just keep going on and on. We just recruited all these players, about 100, to be in our orchestra, okay? Now, we'd have to expand here to get them all up here. I understand that, all right? But let's imagine we got them all here, and we said, now listen, we put them all up here on the stage, and we said, on the count of three, we want you to glorify God in song. One, two, three, go. If we just did that, do you think a glorious noise would come from up here? Probably not, right? Even though each and every one of them individually may be wonderful, wonderful musicians on their own. But what has to happen for a group of musicians to come together and play as one? What has to happen? There has to be some direction, doesn't there? There has to be someone to lead them and guide them. And there has to be a conductor, someone who's going to pick a piece of music and who's going to tell them when to come in and when to play and when not to play and to play louder or play softer and all those things. Well, friends, the same thing is true in God's church. The members are where the real ministry takes place, friends, but God has appointed those pastor elder overseers to lead the congregation to accomplish the mission and the purpose that he's given for us. So, let's look at a couple of scriptures here this morning. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. It speaks about this. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor." The word rule there is the word prostemai. It means to preside over, those who lead. So let the elders who lead well. Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember those who rule over you." Again, the word actually means to lead, to govern, to have authority over. So, friends, what are we supposed to do? We're to remember them, that there are those who are to lead the church. Now, why do we need leading as a church? John MacArthur nails this down really good. Did you know that the analogy of what we're talking about here, the shepherd and the sheep, was intentionally chosen by God? That as the church, as members of the church, God, Jesus Christ, calls his body sheep. Listen to what John MacArthur writes about this. He says, "God has created most animals with an uncanny instinct to find their way home." In fact, I don't know if everybody lost a dog or a dog got lost and maybe been lost for a while and then came back a long time later. I had a cat that got lost one time. Actually, we'd taken it to a friend's house while we went out of town, and that friend lived all the way across town. About 3 weeks later, that cat showed up on my porch. I don't know how in the world that cat got there, all right? But some animals, most animals, have an uncanny instinct to find their way home. But John MacArthur says, "But if sheep stray into unfamiliar territory, they become completely disoriented and cannot find their way back home." Just like if you think about it in Jesus' parable about the lost sheep. Sheep need a shepherd to lead them and guide them where they should go. Friends, Jesus is the chief shepherd. Amen? He has called pastor elder overseers to be the under shepherds to lead and guide the flock of God that God has placed them over and to help fulfill the task he's given us of reaching our world for Christ. But here's one thing we must understand. Leadership in the church is different than leadership anywhere else. Friends, leaders in the church must be servant leaders. Look at what verse 2 in 1 Peter 5. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. In other words, you shouldn't have to be compelled, but doing willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Speaks to motive, doesn't it? The motive behind the reason for serving. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. How many of you have had a boss? They knew they were boss, and they were proud they were boss, and they let you know they were boss, right? Everybody's had a boss like that. That's not the way leadership is to be done in his church. It's to be done by servant leaders, those who care more about others than they do themselves. Amen? Those who model what the Lord Jesus Christ modeled to us, willing to serve others. I'm proud to tell you that I believe these three men embody that characteristic. They serve others beyond what they would even admit. Friends, if the church is to be what God's called it to be, pastoral overseers, the leaders, God's, it must be servant leaders, amen? It must be the servant leaders that God has called them to be, and God's people must be who God's called them to be, wholeheartedly serving him and following the leaders that God has placed them under, amen? Number four, not only are they to feed the flock, oversee the flock, lead the flock, but they are to be examples to the flock. I mentioned this already, friends, but if you look at the texts in Scripture that speak about leaders, what becomes abundantly clear is God's Word is much more focused on character and integrity than it is about giving the specifics of a job description. That's why here in verse 3, he simply says that they are to be examples to the flock. They're to be the examples to the flock. In fact, this is what the word elder refers to. Everybody, when I say the word elder, what do you think of? You think of somebody who is older, right? Well, the term obviously means that, but it also, in Scripture, has come to refer to not only someone's chronological age, but also their spiritual maturity. In the Old Testament, the elders were the governing council of a town. They were charged with overseeing the well-being of the town. They administered justice, they settled disputes, they guided the people, and they were known for their wisdom, their leadership, and their justice. In the New Testament, they adopted the term elder to describe those leaders in the New Testament church because that's what they were used to. It was the term they used in the Old Testament. So the use of the title elder signifies spiritual maturity. It signifies a designation of this person as a spiritual leader in the church. So what are some qualifications? If pastor, elder, overseers are supposed to be mature, if they are supposed to have a spiritual maturity, what are some qualifications we should expect in pastor, elder, overseers? Well, friends, they should be men with a loving heart. Men that are kind, gentle, compassionate, filled with grace. They should be men of good reputation. The Scripture says blameless, having a good testimony. They should be men with self-control, not easily angered or quick-tempered, but full of the Holy Spirit. They should be men with godly priorities. Friends, there ought to be no doubt that Jesus is number one in their life. They ought to be men with a healthy home. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 says, "For if a man does not know how to lead his own house, how will he take care of the church of God?" You know, the reality is those qualities that I just talked about ought to characterize every single one of us, right? They ought to characterize every single one of us. The leaders in our churches ought to be men who we can look up to, people we can look up to as saying, you know what, these are not perfect people, but they are people who embody the characteristics that Scripture has done. We can see that God has worked in their life to make them who God wants them to be. The question I have for you this morning is, how about you? Do those characteristics, are they embodied in you? Do you exhibit those characteristics? What areas do you need to grow? I believe the men that we're going to be setting apart for this ministry today do a great job embodying these characteristics very well. Let me say, they're not perfect. Amen? They're not perfect. But listen, the thing I love about these men is they love the Lord Jesus Christ. They have a great humility about them, and they're willing to grow in their relationship with the Lord, and their lives demonstrate that. So we see that they are good examples to the flock. But friends, we come to the one more role that I want to share with you that pastor, elder, overseers are to fulfill. And we've kind of already talked about this morning a little bit. You know, some people have come to me and said, "Pastor, I sure am glad you're going to have some help now." And you know what? I'm glad for that too. These men are going to come alongside of me, and it's going to be a great thing. I'm grateful for that. But I want to reiterate and clear up one great misconception. The leadership team here at this church, the pastor, elder, overseers, are not to do all the work of the ministry. We've already talked about this. Who's to do the work of the ministry? Everybody is, okay? All the members are to do the work of the ministry. What is supposed to be one of the biggest responsibilities of the pastor, elder, overseers are actually to equip the flock. They're to equip the flock. They're not to do all the work, but they're to equip others and teach others to do the work of the ministry. I go back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Friends, if this church is going to be all God wants it to be, it can't be one small group of people trying to reach this community for Christ. It's got to be each and every one of us taking the responsibility for our world, taking responsibility for where God has placed us, and reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what is part of my job, is equipping you to do that. It's part of this pastor. Each and every one of them have been involved in this already. Mike Edwards is leading our Awana program and training boys and girls with the gospel of Christ. Tom Ball in our men's ministry and training men and bringing up men and instilling them with what they need to be the men that God wants them to be. Chris Kripe, as he teaches Sunday school and leads us in worship, they're all doing the same thing, equipping the body of Christ, our whole body, to be what God has called it to be. Amen? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a few moments. We're going to do something a little different. Maybe you've never been a part of this before in your life. I'm going to ask now for those three men and their wives to come forward. All right. Ladies, I'm going to let you sit there. And guys, I'm going to ask you to come on up here with me. What we're going to do is I'm going to ask them a few questions just so that you can hear from their very mouths their commitment to you. And then we're going to have an opportunity to lay hands on them and to ordain them for this role, this wonderful role that God has called them to. So, guys, you've heard what we said this morning. And the role that the ministry that you're going to be assuming here talks about being a shepherd, an overseer, and having spiritual maturity. So you have been selected by the members of this church to watch over the ministry of this church, to care for the spiritual growth of its members, and to help lead this church in accomplishing the Great Commission. Have you prayerfully considered the privileges and responsibilities of these roles that will be yours serving as pastor, elder, overseers here at Southside Baptist Church? Tom?
I have.
Chris?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And guys, are you willing to accept this task? Are you willing to commit yourself to being a shepherd, a guardian, a leader, an example to this family of believers? Tom?
I am.
Chris?
I am.
Mike?
I am.
Amen. And will you seek the guidance of the Lord through prayer and the study of His Word so that your service will bring honor to Him and to His Son?
I will.
Yes.
I will.
Amen. Amen. Guys, I am happy to introduce to you Tom Ball, Chris Kripe, and Mike Edwards. And what we're going to do now is I'm going to ask these guys to come down here, and Brother Allen's going to set up a chair here. We've got a lot of people here this morning, so here's what I'm going to do. Guys, you come on down. Wives, if you will stand next to them. If you're visiting with us this morning, I just want you to relax, just to sit there. I want you to be a part of this. But if you're a member of Southside Baptist Church, I want to invite you to come, to send somebody from your family to come. And just as a sign that we are recognizing these men that are now assuming this role, would you come and lay hands on them as your family acknowledging this role that they are stepping into? So I'm going to give you an opportunity. Let's just all stand for just a moment, all right? And I'm going to ask some of you if you will come. All right. Ladies, their wives are assuming a great responsibility as well, so you feel free to lay hands on them. And I want you to just stand around them. I want us to gather around them, and we're going to pray for them. I want you to pray with me as I pray out loud. I want you to just pray for them and pray that God will give them wisdom and discernment, and God will lead and guide them as they serve Him here at Southside in this way. So you come on around. I'm going to let you, all of you, just come on around, gather around, lay hands on one of them. All right. You pray with me as we pray together as a congregation. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. Lord, we thank You for what You have done for us. Lord, we thank You that we can have the bond, Lord, of knowing You as our Lord and Savior. And we thank You for making that possible. Lord, we come this morning as a church to ordain and set aside these men, Tom Ball, Chris Kripe, and Mike Edwards, in service to You, Lord, along with their wives, to serve You as pastor, elder, overseers, part of the leadership team here at Southside. Lord, I lift them up to You, Lord. Lord, I thank You for them. I thank You for what You have done in their lives, Lord. Lord, I thank You that even though we're all sinners, Lord, You've saved them by Your grace. And that, Lord, I just thank You that they exhibit that, Lord. And we see that from their lives, just a strong trust in Your love for them. Lord, I lift them up to You. Pray for wisdom and discernment, Lord, as they enter into these roles. Lord, I pray that that You will use them in a mighty way. Lord, I'm thankful that each one of these men are already serving You in wonderful ways, Lord, here at our church. Lord, so continue to work through them. Use them, Lord, as they pastor, as they oversee, as they provide leadership, Lord, to this church. And Lord, we just look to them, Lord, for wisdom and for guidance, Lord, and trust that You will impart to them, Lord, exactly what You want for this church, Lord. Lord, as we go forward from here, Lord, I pray for our church as a whole, Lord, that each person here will accept their responsibility and their role as a part of this church, Lord, and serving You and ministering to others and ministering to our community as a church. Lord, we thank You for them. We are grateful that we have the opportunity to set aside these men for this service today. Jesus, we thank You. In Your name we pray. Amen. 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 I'm going to let you all go back to your seat. And you all may be seated. I want to tell you.